Well, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And as I said earlier, we're up to verse 13 in the Lord's Prayer, but we'll read the whole of the prayer. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, you know already that tonight we are considering "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Temptation and the work of the evil one is a constant part of our lives, is it not? And this is not only true in moments of obvious temptation or moments where we almost can feel the devil's work in our heart and mind, but in many subtle ways that the devil, the world around us, and our own hearts play upon our desires. No age or stage is exempted from this. Every age, down from the oldest amongst us to the youngest amongst us, will have this as a part of your experience of life. And our enemies are practiced and adept at what they do. The devil has many years of experience at this, a far more experience than all of our lives put together. He's been at it for at least 6,000 years, and he knows what he's doing. Temptation, therefore, the evil one, therefore, these things are great dangers to us. Falling for temptation undermines our peace and our spiritual health. If you're not a Christian yet, you're a covenant child perhaps, temptation, the work of the devil, your own heart, the world has the potential to keep you from Christ. And of course, when we fall in these things, it also dishonors God. Therefore, we have much need to pray prayers like, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And so, tonight, I want to consider with you what, why, and how. What do we pray for when we pray prayers like this? Why? Why should we pray prayers like this? And how? How do we pray prayers like this? What? Why? How? Well, what do we pray for when we pray prayers like, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one"? Well, primarily, we are praying for two things. We are praying to be spared temptation, and we are also praying, if tempted, that we might be delivered from the tempter and his allies. Temptation is any encouragement to do or say evil or relish evil thoughts. And it comes from our own flesh, it comes from the world, it comes from the devil. And so we have these enemies. This is why we read in Genesis 3, 1 to 6 of the devil. We see right back from the beginning that he was one who was out to get God's people, out to cause them to go against God's ways. As he successfully encouraged Eve and then through Eve, Adam, to go against the command that God had given them, to doubt God and to ultimately set themselves up against God, appealing to their desires to be their own masters. But also, we know from James that it is our own desires that draw us away and entice us, and these lead to sin, James 1:14. And it is the world as well. The ideas, the attitudes, the way of thinking all around us, our friends, our colleagues, our unsaved loved ones. And all of these enemies are encouraging us to sin. So we pray in response to this. We pray, first of all, to be spared this temptation. But you might say, doesn't our passage say, lead us not into temptation? It doesn't say, spare us temptation. Why am I saying that we're praying to be spared temptation? Well, it's because we're told in Scripture, again in James chapter 1, that God doesn't tempt anyone. We read, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. And yet God can and does sometimes leave us to temptations by removing his protection, by leaving us to the consequences of our own foolishness. Examples of that might be we take on too much foolishly, and that leads us to do things that are against God's law. We let ourselves get tired, and we're vulnerable to be tempted to lose our temper or something like that. And there are times where God leaves us to be exposed to these temptations for his own purposes, for his glory, to chastise us, to cause us to seek after him more diligently, to seek after him in his word, in his worship. One example, and this is an example where there wasn't foolishness involved, but in Job chapter 1, we see God removing his protection from Job, giving the devil permission to try Job, to try to get him to curse God's name. And all of this was according to God's plan. All of it was under his control. And yet, all the tempting and all the evil that befell Job was from the devil. There's, in some ways, more than we can understand there, but what's clear is that God doesn't lead us into temptation, as in he doesn't do the tempting, but he does sometimes leave us to this for his own purposes. And so we want to be those who are pleading with him to spare us this, to spare us from temptation. And we need to be praying this before we're tempted. We need to be seeking the Lord regularly, that He would spare us from temptation. But then also, we are to pray, if we are tempted, for deliverance. If we're tempted, it's not too late. It's not just something we must ride out as best as we know how. No, the second part of the petition is, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. And this is a desire to be delivered from the tempter, from his allies, from giving in to temptation. Sometimes when we're tempted, we get so fixated on the temptation itself. And in doing that, we actually weaken ourselves. That strengthens the power of the devil over us. What we need to be doing when we're tempted is not fixating on the temptation itself, but rather looking away to our God. We need to be looking to His power, to His victory over the evil one, to the resources that are at our disposal in Him. Children, this is what you should be doing when you're tempted, say, to do something against what your parents have commanded you. They've said this, whatever it might be, and you're tempted to not do that. Well, stop. Pray that God would take away this desire to disobey your parents and to give you a desire to obey them, to honor Him. And it's the same with us adults. When we're tempted, we need to be praying to God to deliver us from this. So, what do we pray? We're praying, first of all, to be spared temptation, and second of all, when tempted, to be delivered from it. But why? Why should we pray prayers like this? Well, first of all, because we're weak. In some ways, maybe I don't need to tell you that. You feel that. You know that. But it's helpful to think about it, to be reminded of it. In a sense, we have the whole Bible to tell us of our weakness. Adam and Eve, our first parents, of course, succumbed to the temptation of the devil. The children of Israel in the wilderness were constantly giving in to temptation, to complain about lack of water, to complain about lack of food, to complain about their situation not being as comfortable as they falsely remembered it being back in Egypt. They were constantly being tempted. David, a man after God's own heart, after many years of trials, after much sanctification, was tempted in various ways. Tempted in the matter of Bathsheba. Tempted, as we read earlier, in the matter of numbering Israel. This is a particular wake-up call to us, because, as I said, here is a man after God's own heart. Here's a man seemingly flourishing in his walk with the Lord, who had known great sanctification, and yet he fell in big ways. Peter couldn't even watch and pray for 1 hour. And if we can look at all these examples and think that somehow we're above that, then we need to have a reality check. These things from Scripture, these examples, should warn us that we too are weak. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, we're warned in Scripture. We not only have this enemy without that we're weak against, but we have an enemy within. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians 5:17. We should pray for deliverance from temptation because we're weak. But we should also pray because of our enemies. As I said earlier, the devil has 6,000 years of experience. You've got nothing on him in regard to that. He's crafty. He shows off his bait, but hides the hook, as the Puritans would say. He shows off what will seemingly be the wonderful results of whatever he's tempting you to, but he hides the negative results. He knows every argument in the book to excuse sin. All of us have been in a situation, right, where we really want to sin in a certain way, and we somehow work out that it's okay. We excuse it. Well, Satan, he knows all the excuses in the book, and he's more than ready to remind you of them. He is persistent. He went at Christ 3 times. And then we read in Luke chapter 4, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him, not forever, but until an opportune time." He is persistent. The world, our enemy, is all around us. It's ever more demanding that we fall in line with it. That medical professionals perform abortions. That we just say and affirm that homosexuality is okay and it's not against God's law. That we don't mention the need to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sometimes subtle that the way the world can work against us as well. It can even be in terms of wanting our children to get a good education, and so we send them to a supposedly good academic school, but one where they'll be filled with all these worldly ideas, or something like that. And hopefully I don't need to convince you of how much of a danger your own flesh is, constantly pulling you away from the ways of God. We should pray because our enemies are strong and crafty. We should pray because the purpose of temptation is to distract us from our highest purpose. What's our chief end, children? Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, right? And the purpose of temptation is to take us away from that. Take us away from that good and glorious and wonderful and healthy end. And we should pray because we don't want to be taken away from that. We should pray to be delivered from temptation because of our God. He is powerful and gracious. He is providentially ruling over everything, over the devil, over your flesh, over this world. Everything is under His control. The temptations that you will experience are ultimately not outwith His providential rule. And He has also sent His Spirit to fill you if you are His. We read in 2 Peter, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He is powerful and wise. He is also faithful. We read in 1 Corinthians 10, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." God is powerful and wise and gracious. He is faithful. And Christ is victorious. Christ is victorious over our current world order, over our flesh, over the devil. And he is also able to sympathize with us in our weakness, not because he has fallen, but because he has taken on humanity itself, and he has experienced temptation to a level that we never have. He never fell, and therefore he experienced even more of the devil's temptation, because the devil kept ratcheting up the pressure. So he's able to sympathize with us. We should pray, therefore, for deliverance. We should pray to be spared from temptation, from the evil one, because God is a God powerful and gracious, a God faithful and wise. Christ is victorious, and he is able to sympathize with us. And we should pray because there's benefits of enduring temptation. We should pray to be enabled to endure it because it leads to good things. James 1 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Do you want that crown? This is what is given to those who endure temptation. And therefore, pray that you would be enabled to. Well, how? How are we to do this? Well, part of it is being aware. Being aware of the devil's work. You know, he is a master at hiding, right? He doesn't want us to be aware of his subtle temptations all around. He doesn't want us to be aware that he's even at work at all in our lives, because that plays into his hand. We need to be consciously aware that he is at work to cause us to go away from God's ways. We need to be aware of our own sinful hearts. Even how good things can be turned bad. You know, those of you who are parents will know that sometimes, even in correcting your children, doing a good and righteous thing, you can be tempted to go overboard, to respond in anger rather than true love in correcting them properly. We need to be aware. We need to develop an appetite for the peace and joy that comes in serving Christ. Because this is what happens when we're spared temptation. We grow in our peace and joy. When we're delivered from it, we grow in our peace and joy, seeing how God has worked in us to overcome these things. And if we have a greater appetite for these things, we will be better equipped to pray. We need to remind ourselves of God's resources. Sometimes we can be discouraged because it seems like we're always giving in to temptation, or because we are so bad at facing it. But God is full of resources to help us. God is fully capable of enabling us to find that way out and seizing it and taking advantage of it. And when we pray, we need to be praying based on these resources. And we need to pray before we're tempted. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, "Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. We need to pray before we're tempted, not just in the midst of temptation, but we also need to pray in the midst of temptation. Sometimes it's hard to stop and pray, but when we're tempted, we need to make a habit of doing that. And we need to pray in the hope that flows from our Savior. We have hope, brothers and sisters, because Christ lived a life where He every time overcome the temptation that He faced. And therefore, He is able to give you that same strength. Because of His death, you are His. You are God's. Because of His death, He has crushed the devil and He has weakened His power. Because of His resurrection, you are raised with Him to newness of life. And you have a hope of everlasting days free of temptation. We are tempted, tried, and sometimes failing. But we need to be those who are going to our God, crying out to be spared temptation, to be delivered from temptation. And as we do, He will hear us. Let's pray. O Lord, we pray indeed that You would graciously spare us temptation that we don't even know about, that we would not have to grow through these things. And when You do bring us into temptation providentially, I pray, Lord, that You would help us, that You would deliver us from it, that You would pour out by Your Spirit that strength that Your Son showed while here on earth, that we, like Him, would crush the serpent, and that we would quote back to Him Scripture, that we would stand firm and not give in. O Lord, help us. Hear us as we pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We ask these things in the name of our Savior. Amen.